Isaiah chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with a train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." He said, "Go tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive, keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull and their eyes dim, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed." Then I said, "Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until cities are devastated without inhabitant, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Yet there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will again be subject to burning like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." May God help us as we take opportunity to look tonight into this portion of Scripture and connect it with Matthew 13, which you've heard read. This is probably a little bit more of a Bible study than a sermon, but I guess that'll be okay, since we are looking at God's Word. The scene which is before us is pretty plain. Isaiah says it's the year of King Uzziah's death, which would have been about 740 B.C. And Isaiah is given his call to the ministry. And as you examine this call to the ministry, it actually is a little strange, because he's told that he'll preach and no one's going to listen. This is not very hopeful. I don't know how many of you heard in this past week the speech by the president of Iran at the United Nations, President Ahmadinejad. Did any of you hear that? Maybe you heard some reports on it anyway. Parts of that speech were actually a theological presentation from the perspective of Islam. And President Ahmadinejad was taking the opportunity before the United Nations and before the world to present the Islamic eschatology regarding the 12th Imam and the coming of the 12th Imam, who is purported to be the perfect man who will come and bring perfect justice and righteousness into all the world under Islamic rule. Of course, that's their perspective. And if you know anything about Islam and what's going on in the Middle East, you know quite well that the way these Muslims do evangelism is with bombs and swords and knives and bullets, etc. Not the kind of evangelism we would engage in, for sure. At any rate, I would say to you that President Ahmadinejad is a blind man. And many blind individuals follow such notions and have the hope that Ahmadinejad is presenting. And unfortunately, many individuals in our world today are going over to Islam. It's very sad. On the other hand, isn't it a wonderful thing that your eyes have been blessed? And your ears have been opened. And this is what Jesus tells the disciples in Matthew 13. So I want to show you tonight, hopefully, how we get from Isaiah chapter 6 to Matthew 13 and to your eyes. That's really what I'm interested in. And my eyes, and how God has been pleased to bless your eyes and bless my eyes. So we're looking at this call of Isaiah. And it is a rather dramatic scene, is it not? As I mentioned, this is the year that King Uzziah died, about 740 B.C. And Isaiah had the privilege of ministering for about 40 years. This was a time in history when the Assyrians were on the ascendancy in the world. And after the Assyrians came the Babylonians, and after the Babylonians came the Persians. And you have those three groups of people who had times of power. And this is early on now, and the Assyrians are in power. And this is obviously early on in Isaiah's ministry. And in that year, when Uzziah died, Isaiah has this tremendous vision in the temple. He says, "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Here was a sight of wonder and splendor. And the Apostle John tells us that this vision of Isaiah was a manifestation of Christ. The Apostle John tells us he saw his glory, that is, the glory of Christ. And so before us we have the vision of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, on his throne. And he is the one who is most holy, so that even the angels of heaven must proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy." And there are physical manifestations, it appears. Verse 4, "The foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am ruined.'" Any Israelite of the day knew what Moses had said in the Pentateuch, and others had said after Moses, "No man has seen God and lived." And so it was rather a frightful thing that Isaiah encountered. And so he cries out, "Woe is me." It kind of reminds us of the disciples when Jesus performed a miracle. You remember When Jesus walked on the water and got into the boat, Peter fell down and was frightened at what happened, at this confrontation with the Son of God. And so it was with Isaiah. And, of course, Isaiah remembers then, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King. You see, the King, the Lord of hosts. Here is the King of all. And again, I submit to you, this is Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne of the Majesty on high, and He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And the basic confession that you have as a Christian is, Jesus Christ is Lord. This is your confession. And so Isaiah is giving us the confession that you make in this particular text. Of course, then the story goes on. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. And the searing heat from the fire of the altar now cleanses Isaiah. Isaiah, it seems, is caught up in this vision. And what takes place is a cleansing from the altar of God. But after this cleansing, notice what takes place. Verse 8, Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Who will go out now and proclaim the word of God? Who will go for us? That is, for the triune God. Who will go for us? The God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the second person of the Trinity, representing God and manifesting that holiness of God. And Isaiah says, Here I am, send me. And we take this, of course, as the call of the prophet and his going forth to proclaim the Word of God. Now, God tells Isaiah what he is to do. And this is where it gets a little bit dicey, I think. He said, Go, tell this people. Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, the New American Standard Version renders it, and their ears dull. And their eyes dim. In other words, Isaiah, go preach. Go preach to the people so they will not hear and so they will not understand and so they will not respond. Now, I'm not sure Isaiah would take that as a happy prospect. How about you? I don't think it would have been happy for me if at my ordination, the ministers who spoke, and especially the one who gave the charge to the new minister, said, Okay, Denny, you're going to preach, but nobody's going to pay attention. You're going to preach, and the result is that people are going to go blind and deaf and dumb, and they're not going to be able to understand at all what you're talking about. So, thank you very much. Not a happy prospect. And the text goes on to say, Well, let's read verse 10 again. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. I thought the objective of the proclamation of the Word of God was to see people converted and to see people come to an understanding of the texts of Scripture and to have their eyes open. Apparently, this is not the case with Isaiah. And so Isaiah has a very pertinent question to ask in response to this call that is given to him. Verse 11, then I said, how, Lord, how long? Great question. How long is this going to take place? How long is this going to go on that I must preach in this way? And now notice the answer. And then he answered, until the cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses are without people, and land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. How long are you to preach? Until this land is desolate and the people are gone off the face of this land. Now, to what does the Lord have reference here? Well, I think he has two things in mind, actually. Now, I already mentioned the date of this great vision, 740 B.C. And it is the time of the ascendancy of Assyria. And in 722 B.C., a few years after this vision takes place, the Assyrian hordes come into the northern kingdom and devastate the northern kingdom of Samaria and carry the people into exile. And so 10 of the tribes of Israel are taken away. And it's not until after Isaiah passes from the scene that Judah and Benjamin, the southern kingdom, are also devastated. And that by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And Jerusalem finally falls after there are three separate sieges of that city. Jerusalem finally falls in 586 B.C. So it's quite a little bit of time after Isaiah preaches. So this preaching, this kind of preaching, is to go on for some time. And in large measure, it is because of the sin of the people. And so we have this rather dramatic call now of Isaiah and his call to preach so that eyes will be closed and judgment will come upon Israel. So now keep that in mind as we turn now. We're going to come back to Isaiah, but keep that in mind as we turn now, please, to Matthew 13, because Jesus quotes from Isaiah chapter 6 in Matthew 13. And let's begin reading at verse 10 in Matthew 13. Jesus has been dealing with the people, and he just has spoken a parable to the people, and the disciples come to him and say, why do you speak to them in parables? Why aren't you a little bit more straightforward? All right. Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." You disciples are in a privileged position, because to you it has been granted to know the things of the kingdom of God. Look at verse 16 along this line. "Blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because you hear." Disciples of Jesus Christ, you are a blessed people. This is what Jesus says to you. You're a blessed people. You have been given insights into God's kingdom. And that's a huge blessing. Others are blind and cannot see. Back to Matthew 13. Jesus says, "For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away." In other words, if you think you see, beware. Beware. If you think you see, and you've got it all put together, Mr. Ahmadinejad, beware. This is what Jesus says. "But whoever has, to him more shall be given. And I say to you, friends, if your eyes are blessed, more shall be given to you." Thank God that that's the case. Jesus goes on to say in verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." And why is this the case? Back to verse 11. "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." You see, there are certain people to whom the mysteries of the kingdom have been denied. And Jesus is emphasizing this fact to you and to me. And he says, this is the reason I'm laying so much out to the people around us in parables, so they will not understand. Verse 14, "In their case," Jesus says, "the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them.'" Jesus says that the people in his day are fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Because when you go back to, and please do go back to Isaiah 6 with me. When you go back to Isaiah 6, Isaiah asks a crucial question, does he not? When he is given his mission to preach and people will not hear, Isaiah asks the crucial question, how long? And God comes back and says, until the land is desolate, meaning until the Assyrians come through and the Babylonians come through, and the people of the land are taken into captivity. That's how long. That's how this word in Isaiah, or this word I'm giving to you, Isaiah, is to be fulfilled. And now Jesus comes along and says, the words of Isaiah are fulfilled in his time. I'm just calling to your attention this little difference in the text, all right? And raising the question why this might be the case. We need to read the Scriptures carefully. All of us need to read the Scriptures carefully. And the answer comes when we read a little bit further in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 13. I stopped before we got to the end of the chapter and didn't quite read verse 13 yet. Now, let's look at verse 13. Yet, the promise is, yet there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will again be subject to burning. When the Assyrians come through, and when the Babylonians come through, and the land is desolate, and my people are going to be taken into captivity, the promise is that the people are not going to be destroyed. That there will be a remnant that remains. And we know that that's the case, do we not? That God in His providence does bring a people out of captivity and back to Jerusalem. And they rebuild the temple. And they reinstitute the worship of God in Jerusalem. And all of that does take place. And Isaiah, it seems, is looking forward to that time. Yet there will be a tenth portion in it, and it again will be subject to burning. In other words, the same thing is going to happen again. That my people are going to come back from captivity, and the temple is going to be rebuilt, and the worship is going to be reinstituted. But there is going to be a repetition of what you witness, Isaiah, with the onslaught of the Assyrians, and the later prophets witness with the onslaught of the Babylonians. There's going to be a repetition of all of that. And you know when that repetition takes place? In 70 A.D., in 70 A.D., when Jerusalem falls, and Isaiah is looking ahead centuries to that occurrence. Look again at verse 13. And there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will again be subject to burning like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The stump remains. And you also remember these prophecies, do you not? That when Jesus comes, what is He like? He's like a shoot that arises from a stump. And that's exactly what happens in the time of the first century, when Jesus Himself does come on the scene, whose stump remains when it is felled, the holy seed is its stump. God preserves for Himself a seed in His land. And what took place in the time of Isaiah, God says to Isaiah, will happen again. That is, as people do not listen to your preaching, a time will come again when the prophet comes on the scene, the holy seed, and men and women will not listen to him either. And so when you go back to Matthew chapter 13, and if you'd look there again with me, Matthew chapter 13, what Jesus is picking up on is exactly what we have just noticed in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 13. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. That is, in this second occurrence, it's happening again, just like it happened so many years ago. And why would that be the case? To me, that's one of the gnawing questions. Oh yes, it's because of the sin of so many people. That's true. But I think there is a deeper answer to the question of why. And here's what I think the answer is, friends. When you look at what Jesus says with regard to his disciples, with regard to people like you and me, blessed are your eyes, for you see. That God in his providence was pleased to harden the hearts of the Jewish people. That God in his providence was pleased to harden Israel so that the gospel would come to people like you and me, so that your eyes would be blessed and my eyes would be blessed. That God in his grace saw fit to do that. I don't know how that strikes you, but I'll tell you how it strikes me. It has the effect of humbling me not a little bit to think that God in his wisdom and God in his grace was pleased to harden the hearts of a certain group of people so that you could hear and so that I could hear the good news of the gospel, so that your eyes could be blessed and so that my eyes could be blessed. That's part of the wisdom of God. And I think when we begin to grasp that a little bit, we understand, you should understand, you're in a privileged position if your eyes have been opened and if your ears have been opened and you understand the gospel. Look again what Jesus says in Matthew 13. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And so it can be said, dear friends in Christ, about you too, that there are many who have gone before you who would have liked to have heard what you have heard and seen what you have seen, but have not had the privilege of doing so. And so I think, it's incumbent upon you and me to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because it is really a matter of your grace, is it not? And your choosing. That you have been pleased to open my eyes and give me the blessing of the gospel where so many others have not had that privilege. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it's a simple message. It's a simple idea that you present. And we are indeed humbled by it. We began talking about this president of Iran, Mr. Ahmadinejad, who speaks about a prophet to come who will give all of the world hope and rest and peace and righteousness. And yet, Father, from this text tonight, or these texts tonight, we recognize that he is blind. And we thank you that great prophet who is to come once again is in fact Jesus Christ, who long ago appeared to Isaiah in a great vision and called that prophet, and who later walked the dusty trails of Palestine and spoke your word to your disciples then and opened their eyes and blessed them. And we thank you, Father, that you have been pleased in your grace and providence to take the likes of us and to open our eyes. Thank you, Lord, that the words of Jesus may be applied to the likes of us. Blessed are your eyes, because they see, and blessed are your ears, because they hear. We thank you for that. And we pray that in this coming week, as you take us through the various tests and trials, and the labor, the work, the school, whatever it might be, that we might remember that we are unlike your people of old and unlike so many others today, not because there's anything special in us, but because you have been pleased to bless us. Thank you that this is the case. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.